Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where the Golden Globes isn't an award show, but rather a move that Goldust used to perform against opponents. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the man of the rising sun, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
I'm great, man. I've never heard that one. That's a new one.
I was about to say that it's been a while since I feel like I've seen Goldust do that move.
Yeah. I mean, I know the Shattered Dreams, of course, but
I think maybe it is the Shattered Dreams. It just used to be called
the Golden Globes. They probably changed that, but yeah, man, I'm doing good. I am great. It is we made it through the holiday season.
Yeah,
barely. We are in 2019. This is a new year. New Much Ado About Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I'm in a great mood, man. I'm in a very, you could say, elite mood.
Yeah, I'm in an elite mood too, because I've been back from Guatemala for a week and I'm just now no longer sick. It was one of those family vacations where one person got sick and then passed
everyone
it around.
Got sick.
And I got it on the day that we were flying back into the United States.
Oh,
so
man.
That was the time that I decided to get sick.
I actually avoided that bug. So I also just got back from MAGFest. I was at the Music and Gaming Festival in National Harbor, Maryland. But about 10,000-20,000 people there. There's going to be some sickness floating around. But I think I was the only one in our group who avoided it. So
that means you're going to get it so hard.
I know.
Soon.
It's going to hit me so hard.
There's also been a lot that's happened in wrestling since the last time
you've heard
our voices. I just want to kind of run down some of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we went into a quote-unquote new era of WWE between the last time you heard us.
Yes,
when McMahon's
fired
the general managers, and they're going to do
promised us new matchups, new content. Haven't got it yet, but I think it's
we
on the way.
We got Mustafa Ali. That's kind of the extent of it so far.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestle Kingdom 13 happened. Mm-hmm. The WrestleMania of the East. And that show was 7 hours of hard hitting, very hard hitting wrestling, especially if you're Kota Ibushi. But we can't even dwell on that much. We can't even dwell on the fact that the Royal Rumble is in 2 weeks. We're on the road to WrestleMania now.
Wow. It's so close.
Because there is an elephant in the room that we need to speak about, and we will be speaking about for most of this this episode today, and that is All Elite Wrestling. So in the time that we've been off, a new wrestling promotion opened its doors.
And this doesn't happen every day, folks, so this is big.
Yeah. I was trying to think of how many wrestling promotions have started since the fold of WCW in 2001.
Okay.
And there were a slew then. So Ring of Honor and TNA, now Impact, start there. There's a lot of reshuffling in Japan at that time. So New Japan kind of becomes again what it is now.
Oh, because I think All Japan was already happening, right?
All Japan, was happening. And there's a really convoluted timeline.
There used to be three
big Japanese promotions. Now there's like two, depending on who you ask.
And then as the years go on, you get into like Dragon Gate and all this other crazy stuff.
But there really hasn't been a big promotion or a promotion that is big from the onset that has started since the fold of WCW. And All Elite Wrestling, I think already quietly, would be the number two biggest promotion in the United States, depending on if it gets TV, which we'll get into.
Yeah. I think depending on that TV deal that they've been talking about, it's if anything, they're going to start right on the same level as Impact and ROH. Yeah. Possibly higher. But...
yeah. So we're going to run down this new wrestling promotion from a lot of different angles here in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we would be remiss if we didn't talk for a bit about Wrestle Kingdom.
I mean, you can't just float over Wrestle Kingdom. It's Wrestle Kingdom 13, yeah. Andrew.
There was a match on this card that our good buddy Dave Meltzer gave 5.5 stars.
5.5 stars. That's gonna be the main event.
That was the main event. Yeah, yep. The main event got 5.5 stars. Nice. I wanted to ask you, Tyler, what were the notable moments? If someone's going back to watch this pay-per-view and doesn't have 7 hours, what must they check out?
So, Wrestle Kingdom, I mean, it is their version of WrestleMania. It's going to be a long show. You got to be ready for the long haul. But if you are looking for the cliff notes of things that you need to see in this Wrestle Kingdom, I would recommend, number one, you might want to skip a certain part of the match, but you have to watch the opener, Will Ospreay versus Kota Ibushi. These guys came out the gate just running and literally never stopped until Kota almost got knocked out cold.
Yeah, I think you can get rid of that word almost. I think this is one of those moments where we did.
Well, you see... This is one of those pro wrestling things where, like, for all accounts, I feel like he did legit get knocked out, but at the same time, I feel like it might have been a work. Like, there's little parts because Will Ospreay gets him up for the Stormbreaker right after that. His finisher, the Stormbreaker, it's kind of like a modified powerbomb thing where he has to like pick the person up on his shoulders. And I don't think he would have been able to do that with like a limp Kota Ibushi. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. The way that I read it is that Kota was knocked out at least for a few seconds.
At least for a few seconds.
And Kota probably was like, I'm good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And the referee was like, no, we're going to the finish. Yeah.
Right.
But
so I'm not sure on that one, but definitely I recommend checking out that match. Honestly, this one's not even a match. It was the biggest pop of the night, though. You gotta check out Kazuchika Okada's entrance. The pop that the trunks get. Did you listen to that?
I did. Why was the trunks a thing that people popped for? I think that needs
is
a
this,
little bit of
Is this like a rhetorical question, or are you actually curious?
No, I'm asking for the people
who
are newer to our show, who maybe haven't watched
as much
New Japan.
So this is a perfect example. It sounds so weird that I'm just like, gushing over the fact that guy was wearing shorts and not pants, but so this was a story, like it's one of those like awesome side stories that you can tell in professional wrestling over a very long period of time. So Okada had always been wrestling with trunks on, which are just like kind of like spandex shorts almost, and he was wrestling like that during his whole like massive title reign for 2 years and stuff, and he was just being dominant, always winning. And then he eventually transitioned to the pants that he was wearing, and then that very soon after he lost the title to Kenny Omega, and then he was on his like finding himself journey. He started doing all the weird like balloon Okada. He had come out with balloons and he dyed his hair red and he was wearing like shirts rather than the jacket. And so this went on for a while, and like I think the story that they were telling is like his fall from grace, and like he was trying to find himself. And so throughout the whole year, so basically comes to WrestleMania, Wrestle Kingdom in the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the old music back. It gets a little bit of a pop. The hair is dyed blonde. Like, I think people are kind of getting the idea. He has the jacket on, and you can't see the legs because he's wearing this, like, sort of long kilt thing. And so he gets in the ring and, like, just, you know, normal standard pop. Everything's fine. And then he, like, takes his jacket off, and he takes the kilt off to reveal the trunks and not pants. And I can't explain, like, the whole arena erupted. It was the loudest pop of the night.
It was. I think this is the perfect example of how a story is told differently in Japan than in WWE or in any American promotion, because Something we forget about New Japan a lot is that it doesn't have a weekly TV program, really.
Yes.
Like, they don't do that many events for a program or for a professional wrestling league that's that big. So they don't have as many promo segments. So you have to tell a story in a much simpler way and in a much more visual way.
Yes.
And I think that this was the perfect explanation of, like, this was probably like an outrageous storyline for New Japan,
I know, right?
Honestly, but it's pretty tame.
It was, yeah,
by American standards.
And so I have to actually keep gushing on this. I think my favorite match of the night was probably Okada versus Jay White. And so I want to add to the point of it, spoilers, if you're planning on watching it, Jay White picks up the win. He ends up beating Okada, and I had to, like, note the fact of, like, that is some of the most perfect booking in professional wrestling I have ever seen. Like, because they had this huge, like, wonderful pop moment of, like, old Okada has returned, and, like, he's gonna come back and get, like, hop back on that horse and just win, like, do what we loved Okada for. And they set it up perfectly. Like, they had him come in, he did the entrance, he revealed the trunks, and they were like, all right, this is Okada. And then Jay White, like, it was a very competitive match, but Jay White, the dastardly heel Switchblade, ends up winning the match and just, like, steals it from us. You know what I mean? Like, I was genuinely angry that Okada lost, but at the same time I was like, ah, you got me. That was very well played.
Yeah, I think that this wasn't a particularly surprising card from top to bottom because of a lot of the All Elite stuff that we'll get into later. But this was a genuine surprise.
That was a surprise,
a show that otherwise was pretty normal, just like a very well wrestled show from top to bottom. I will point out one more match that I want to say was fantastic to me. And it was not one of the, like, big four main events. It was Zack Sabre Jr. against Ishii.
Oh, Ishii!
Yeah. In this match, it certainly was not the longest match of the night. But Zack Sabre Jr., who you might have seen him in the Cruiserweight Classic on WWE Network, where he described himself as the Harry Potter of wrestling a few times. I think just because he's British. There's
no Harry Potter motifs that he's pulling out.
his character is that he is a stretcher in the sense that, like, he is a scrawny, like, he makes me look pretty big.
He's not a muscular guy. He's not a big guy. He looks very much just like a normal dude.
Yeah, he's like Stretch Armstrong, kind of.
Yeah.
And there's been a problem with me watching his matches before where I feel like because he physically is so unimposing that I have a tough time believing him winning matches.
Right.
And against Ishii, who is a stone pit bull.
Who's just a tank, man.
He made Zack Sabre Jr. look really dangerous. And I thought that this was the turning point for me of being like, oh, I can buy him against big rough and tumble guys.
You're on the Sabre train now?
I am on the Sabre train.
All right.
I'm on the Sabre train, but what trains? This is a terrible segue. What segues do you think New Japan is going to focus on in the future? As in, like, coming out of this biggest pay-per-view of the year for them, who is going to be the focal point of New Japan in 2019.
So I think in terms of people they're going to focus on, I think Zack Sabre Jr. is definitely a good pick. He had an amazing showing at Wrestle Kingdom. He had an amazing showing in the 2018, really. What was the tournament he won?
He won the Best of the Super Juniors?
No.
He won a tournament.
He won a tournament because he faced Okada for the title.
He didn't win the G1. He won something else.
It was something. But so he had a great 2018. So I think they're positioning him
to the New Japan Cup.
The New Japan Cup, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're positioning him to do some really big things in 2019. I could certainly see him challenging, possibly winning the IC belt. I think that would be a great spot for him. I think for me, though, because I've already gushed over it a little bit, man. I think 2019 is going to be the year of Jay White. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because not only is he... He's in, not only like he had the high profile match with Okada, like the previous ace of the company, he has Gato in his corner now, but he is also now the new like leader of the Bullet Club. They've had the changing of the guard. They removed the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. But Bullet Club is still a huge part of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And the fact that Jay White is just now the leader, like I think 2019 is going to be his year.
I think it's fascinating that, you know, spoiler alert again, you've had over a week to watch it now, people, so I don't feel bad spoiling this. Tanahashi is the champion, and he is, I would say, past his prime, right? He's a former ace. He's a young past his prime.
Yeah, yeah. He's like just out of it, or like, yeah.
But him as champion... I think the next three people who look like they're going to get the biggest pushes as dangerous competitors are all Ganji. They're all foreign wrestlers in Jay White and Zack Sabre Jr. And I think in the new direction for Will Ospreay is like a dangerous striker rather than just like
guy. Will Ospreay, because he's moving up to heavyweight now.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that even though New Japan is just spent a few years building up these American wrestlers to try to get into this market, and they've lost all of them, that they're doubling down on that strategy, it seems, and being like, well, if we lose these foreign people, we're just gonna get a new batch of them. Whether or not that's a good idea is going to be yet to be seen, I think. So that is Wrestle Kingdom 13. That ends 2018 in wrestling, and 2019, as we've stated, is already off to a bang with a little thing called All Elite Wrestling.
AEW.
So, over the course of our winter break, a new wrestling promotion came into existence. On an episode of Being the Elite, the countdown clock storyline was completed to reveal a name of a sequel of sorts to the All In pay-per-view called Double or Nothing. But that wasn't all. No, the former Bullet Club members announced their own wrestling company, All Elite Wrestling. The president and money behind this promotion are the owners of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Fulham Football Club, and the greatest mustache in the world, Shad and Tony Khan. Hence why their first press conference took place in Jacksonville and revealed a lot of information about what to expect from this new company. So let's start with the facts. First, I called it a press conference. That's not right. It was a rally.
It was a rally. Yeah, it was. They had cheerleaders and pyro. It was a rally.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it took place in the same town and the same night as Monday Night Raw was that night.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
So here's what we know. We know some of the initial roster of this new wrestling promotion. We know that Cody is going to be there and the Young Bucks are going to be there. And beyond just being talent, the three of them are also executive vice presidents of the company. So the Khans still are in the most control. They're the Vince McMahon in this
scenario. Do you think that they gave them sort of creative control? Because
no, I'll get to that in a bit. I think that they definitely have creative power, but I do think the buck is going to stop. Ugh, pun unintended, but pun achieved with the cons.
Okay, interesting.
That's just based on the way that I feel like they've run their sports teams.
Yeah,
and based on some other information I learned about them that I'll get to.
Okay.
So Cody and the Young Bucks are there. Hangman Page is also there. Chris Jericho is exclusively a member of All Elite Wrestling.
Arguably the biggest signing.
Yeah, that's their biggest signing in terms of crossover appeal and general name recognition. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky, collectively SoCal Uncensored.
SCU! Will be there.
Joey Janela and Penelope Ford are going to be there. Pac, formerly Neville, on WWE programming, is going to be there. Britt Baker is going to be there as well. mm-hmm. and then a whole bunch of wrestlers from Oriental Wrestling Entertainment, a Chinese professional wrestling company that seems like they're going to be their sister program, for lack okay. of a better term. We know that their next big show will be Double or Nothing. It's going to be in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, which is there's been a lot of UFC fights that have taken
place.
Yeah,
that's where I know that's usually where UFC does their fights.
Yeah. That's going to be on May 25th, 2019. So they're totally avoiding the WrestleMania season
kind of hoopla. Which I think is the correct choice.
I agree. It was already a really crowded market with the Madison Square Garden show
absolutely.
As well. Which also makes me feel like maybe some of these people might still show up on the Madison Square Garden show.
Oh, no. I think
Do you
want to
tell your story?
Yes, sure. Well, this will be a great segue. So, so we have tickets to the Madison Square Garden show. And what's going to happen is we're going to bring our significant others to the show. And this is going to be my girlfriend Sarah, her very first wrestling event. Mm-hmm. Or at least it was going to be. I think we might be going to an indie show in February. But anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
And she was really excited because we were going to see Kenny Omega. And she's like, he's one of her favorites because I gush about Kenny Omega all the time. And so, given this AEW news and like the potential of like now after Wrestle Kingdom, Kenny losing the title, his contract being up, he's most likely not re-signing within JPW. He's possibly going to AEW, possibly going to WWE. I had to break the news to her. I was like, it's a very strong possibility that he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And she was like, then why are we even going, man? Like, what's the point?
Yeah. There's still going to be a lot of great people on that show.
There's still going to be a lot of great names. I'm still super psyched for it. Like, I'm there to see, like, Okada and Tanahashi and Ospreay and all the NJPW guys. But I think I got to try to resell her on it. But I think it's going to be fun either way.
Yeah. I'm excited at seeing PCO, which we've talked about, and a few other people that Ring of Honor has signed. I'll be curious to see if any Impact people show up. It'd be fun to see Johnny Impact there. We'll see, though.
Yes.
But that brings us back to what we do know about AEW. We know that the pay scale is going to be gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that everyone's going to be paid the same, like every single person, but it means that if you're a mid-card man and a mid-card woman, you're going to be paid the same.
Yes.
Basically. Mm-hmm. We know that Brandi Rhodes will be there as the chief brand officer, which I don't think is a kayfabe position. I think she will be working in like marketing and branding for them.
Yeah. But I also do think it was like a weird pro wrestling dig at like Stephanie McMahon.
Sure was. And we also know that Billy Gunn is going to be a producer behind the scenes for them. And we know based on the stare down between Pac and Hangman that there will be an All Elite Wrestling Championship.
Yes.
At least I hope there will be one, and that those two characters just aren't under the impression that there will be one. That would be pretty funny to them. Yeah. So this, why is this important? We've kind of talked about that this hasn't happened in a while, but this is like back in the early 1900s in old school Hollywood when film studios used to own contracts for directors and writers and actors. So it wasn't like you make a movie and you sign people onto it. A movie studio would be like, Tyler, we've got you for 8 movies. So these are the 8 movies you're going to be in. And then you can do whatever you want. And United Artists decided to break away from that. And it was an all-star team. It was Charlie Chaplin and W.D. Griffith and Mary Pickford and a bunch of famous old-timey Hollywood people were like, no, we're going to start our own thing outside of this system. And that's kind of what it feels like here. It feels like the all-stars of independent contracting wrestling have decided, like, what if we got together and tried to fight the power, if it were? The problem is, I think it might it's definitely going to hurt a bunch of other indie promotions. It's the feeling that I get. Do you feel that way?
I do. I definitely agree. It's because so what Cody and the Bucks have tried to advertise this as, it's they want to like change the business. They want to revolutionize the sport and the way, not only that the sport, like the on-screen product happens, but also the backstage handlings of it. And I fully believe that. I really do think that they are revolutionizing the sport. Like, at least it feels that way for someone who's watched wrestling for about 20 years now. Like, it feels different, and it feels like this is a very big moment in professional wrestling. In terms of who it's like going to negatively affect, I think in a weird way, this is a great thing for the fans and the wrestlers themselves, but for like promotions and stuff, it's not great.
No,
at least indie promotions, casualties. And that's kind of all indie promotions, whether it be Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact, because when you add more promotions, there's only so many wrestlers to go around, you know.
But that was fine when there were still very few exclusive contracts between New Japan, Ring of Honor, and Impact. Like, there aren't that many people signed to any of those companies who are only allowed to work there. And All Elite is going to take a lot of the people who are able to be on all those shows simultaneously and make them exclusive.
I'm not entirely sure about this. Someone can fact check me. I'm pretty sure I heard something that said Chris Jericho's contract is not exclusive.
No, his is what I saw.
It is exclusive.
For 3 years.
Are you sure? Because I remember...
I'm not sure of any of this, but that is what I saw him say.
Okay. Because I was thinking it wasn't, because he, at the end of Wrestle Kingdom, he was talking about, he's like, I want a shot at the heavyweight title.
He is finishing up a contract with New Japan, is what I understand.
Because then that was the other thing I heard, that it would make sense, a strong possibility for a main event at the Madison Square Garden show would be Chris Jericho versus Tanahashi or whoever has the title. Yeah.
I think that there is a big chance we'll see Jericho there, just because you need to put your biggest names in Madison Square Garden when you're also in town against WrestleMania. But we'll get into that rumor when we get to the rumor section. Oh, there's so much to unpack.
There's so much.
Before I forget it, I'll say the thing about the cons that I know is that they are business forward people with a lot of money who are very hands-on with their sports franchises, like very, very hands-on. I know that they don't have much free time, but in their free time growing up until now, all they did was watch wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. So they're not just money, which is kind of what I thought they were. They approached Cody and the Young Bucks because they watch wrestling, saw All In, and were like, oh, we have the money. Let's see what they would want to do with a bankroll. And now we're here.
And here we are.
So I think, for better or worse, the cons will be the Vince McMahon, in a sense, in that they will, I think, be the final say in creative.
Really? See, that, honestly, that seems weird to me, because I feel like one of the points behind All In, well, not All In, but behind AEW, I think, for the Bucks and Cody, was the idea that I just assumed that it was, they didn't want it to be like a WWE thing. WWE being, of course, Vince McMahon is the end all be all of anything that happens on TV.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that they wouldn't want to give power to that kind of power to a singular like person, or the two of them or whatever, or at least someone who doesn't, I don't know, who isn't one of them, but I guess that's kind of defeats the whole purpose in general. I don't know.
Here's what I think it will be like, is it will be like on a movie set where like a young hip director gets handed a movie and Steven Spielberg is the one who's the executive producer, right? So he won't get in the way. He'll let the young hip director be like, I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. Yeah. And then we're going to do this effect. And that's where Steven Spielberg will say, like, actually, you know what? We don't need to spend that much money on that one effect. You can find another way to do it.
Yeah.
I think it will be kind of like that.
more like them coming up with storylines and stuff, but the cons holding the reins of being like, okay, but we can't do this for whatever reason. Or...
Yeah, I think it will be like that. I think okay. The cons probably, this is speculation on my part. I have no rumors, anything to point me in this.
We don't have any dirt sheets here, yeah. Okay.
This is what I would assume in my common sense, is that they probably were like, let us handle getting on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's what they're bringing to the table.
Yes.
Like initially, like, you guys worry about, you know, drumming up the interest. We will worry about getting on TV.
Mm-hmm.
What we mentioned that there hasn't been something like this since WCW, which mm-hmm. was formerly the NWA and Jim Crockett promotion, and then became on TV, became filming in a cool location in Florida in an amusement park. And they had this big signing of Hulk Hogan, and they do this, like, for lack of a better term, this rally that feels pretty similar to the rally we just saw. And then 10 years later, WCW went out of business. So what can All Elite learn from the failure of WCW trying to go up directly against Vince McMahon?
I mean, I think that right there is rule number one. Don't. not to say, like, don't ever, but I think Cody and the Bucks have definitely, I think they are of sound mind and they understand their position. I think they need to realize that you can't hope to compete with WWE at this stage, and arguably, like, even the next stage or the stage after that you get to, like, you got to get a couple stages before you're a contender. Because I mean, WWE, it's just such a massive, like, corporation, really. And so, like I feel like that's easily one of the biggest mistakes that TNA ever made, was when they mm-hmm. tried to recreate the Monday Night Wars. They moved Impact to the Monday night time slot during Raw, and it was just like, man, like, you are nowhere near the level needed to compete with that sort of competition. Yeah. And I think the Bucks are certainly aware of that, and they're like, look, we're gonna, you can play it safe for a while, not step on any toes. Like, the idea of not having a show or something going on during WrestleMania weekend. I'm sure they'll probably be there in some capacity. They may have, like, a panel or a rally or something like that, but they don't want to chance competing, like, ticket sales, which I think is clearly the smart thing to do, because then you're not only battling WWE, you're battling New Japan and Ring of Honor and all the other little shows going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also, and this is going to be a weird metaphor I'm going to make for the new wrestling fans, is that All Elite should aspire to be the Netflix of wrestling. And mm-hmm. not in the sense that they should just be a digital streaming platform. I don't mean that. I mean in the sense that they should not try to do what the industry standard bearing companies are doing. Yes. Because, you know, even Impact and even Ring of Honor, and even New Japan, which has a totally different style, even all of those are still kind of mirroring the way that WWE does business.
Yes.
And I think All Elite, with their YouTube show and their bending of reality,
mm-hmm.
I think they have the potential to do something that is wrestling, but totally different.
Yeah.
And I guess Lucha Underground does do that.
Lucha, I would say they kind of have a unique mm-hmm. Style to themselves.
But their problem is that they're not live.
Yes.
And not having all the results, you know, available a year before the shows go up mm-hmm. makes it really hard.
Yeah.
So,
and you can try to avoid spoilers as much as you want, but I mean, every now and then something's gonna get out.
Yeah. So it's how does All Elite make something that feels different enough while still being live? I don't know, but that's the challenge here. Mm-hmm. And something that they need to learn from WCW that I think they're already failing at mm-hmm. is that you can't have your highest paid, biggest stars booking the show. Historically.
Yes, that's true. I mean, yeah. We have seen how that went with
Hulk Hogan having creative control. Kevin Nash as the Booker.
Right.
Didn't work.
And I would agree. And I like to hope that the Cody and the Bucks are level headed enough to realize that it doesn't work when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I remain optimistic. I hope that they understand that's not the way to do business. And I think that they seem like individuals who understand like the wrestling like world, you know what I mean? Like they know like when someone needs to go over someone else, you know what I mean? Which was the problem with Hulk Hogan is that like no one could ever go over Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be telling Cody about these rules. What do I know compared to him? I mean, his dad is maybe the best example of someone who is a booker and a star simultaneously. Yeah, yeah. They'll be fine. Here's I said I'm worried about this because I am. I'm worried mm-hmm. at any time about, I mean, Jeff Jarrett was guilty of this in TNA, definitely. I am encouraged that the only two people on screen who have talked about being the champion so far were Hangman and Pac.
Yeah.
I think that's a good start.
If they right out the gate decide to push Hangman to the main event, like I am 100% behind that.
Yeah. I think that is smart from the get-go. I think you could even have the Bucks be like an undefeated tag team, and as long as they're not the main event every night, you can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually kind of love to see Cody become a authority figure who only wrestles occasionally, but we'll see what happens.
If he becomes like the Vince McMahon-esque character to AEW, like it'll be known that he's one of the executives, so he could be like the evil executive who's all about the money and stuff like.
Yeah. And the last thing I think they should really learn from WCW is that you have to stop referencing your opponents on camera. And it's worked for being the Elite thus far because there's so many in jokes and we were unsure about where everybody was going.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it seems clear and clear that everyone is going to AEW, once it starts, that's got to be the focus of their universe, I feel like. Yeah. So there have been a lot of rumors and half-truths flying around from a lot of different sources, reputable and otherwise. Some stuff you and I have just speculated openly about already without any info.
Because we don't know.
Yeah. So it's time for Tyler to put on his thinking cap and sniff out all the BS. So this is a game we're calling What Chance in Hell. So I'm going to go through some actual rumors that we've heard. Some are from dirt sheets. Some are from the mouths of people at the rally. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me from 0 to 100 what chance you think there is that it's true.
All right, hit me. I am ready. The wrestling cap is on. Let's do this.
Did you have another cap on before that, the takeoff?
No.
Switch caps?
I removed my work cap at 5, so I've just been capless for a little bit.
Great. I'm going to start with one that we didn't actually write down on the list here. But was said by Cody at the rally. He said that in AEW, wins and losses will matter more than in other wrestling companies, and that there won't be good guys and bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
How true do you think that is?
I would give... I'm curious to the execution. I would give that like a 70% chance of happening. Because
mm-hmm.
I think now that they've said it, now that they've put it out there into the world, they have to kind of like make well on that.
Yeah.
In which case, like it doesn't seem like a hard thing to do. Just make your wins and losses matter. Like if someone gets a pin over the WWE champion 1 week, then they should probably get a title shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder if it means that they have some high concept thing in mind for wins and losses.
Yeah.
That idea always excites me, but I've never seen it done well over a long stretch of time by any company. Impact did a rankings thing for a while, as did Ring of Honor, and it's tough to stick to that.
Yeah.
But that might not be what they're doing.
Do you remember, I don't remember the name of it, do you remember that weird side tangent, do you remember that tournament that Impact used to do to, it was like kind of a race for the glory? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That thing was so convoluted
and confusing.
Yeah. New Japan does it well with these
tournaments
where like points work, but I wonder if they're if all these could do something that's not a tournament per se, but it's like based on your last five matches, your win loss record affects where you are in the
like
contendership.
That.
You know, we'll see.
You or like maybe you need to like if you win four matches in a row or something, you're guaranteed a title shot. It's something weird.
Yeah, that actually, if that's the only rule, if it's like if you win four or five in a row, you get a title shot.
Yeah,
I feel like that makes sense, and you could stretch that out for
a long
time. It's like, it's when you have to pay attention to everyone's win losses and have standings and stuff like that, that it gets really hard in a fake sport. So Chris Jericho, he said, quote, "I wouldn't have gone to AEW if there wasn't a strong TV deal on the table." Dave Meltzer has reported that two major networks are in talks to air a 2-hour weekly show for AEW. They filed for the trademark Tuesday Night Dynamite. It's yet to be seen if they'll have a show on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. So what are the chances that AEW will produce a weekly show? What are the chances that it's going to be 2 hours on Tuesdays directly against SmackDown, at least for now, until SmackDown moves? And what do you think of the two rumored networks of TNT and ESPN?
Whew, that's
a
lot
to
things.
This is the biggest one, though.
Yes.
This is the biggest rumor that we've heard.
I believe 100% chance there will be a TV deal.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to be on like a syndicated cable network that like everyone has, I don't know.
It better be.
It needs to be. If it's just on like a random, if it's on like, you know, the Fuse channel or whatever that weird channel that Impact's going to be on now.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, Impact's moving to a channel that's less popular than Destination USA or Pop.
Right.
Like it's got to be bigger.
If it's on one of those channels, I think it'll sustain itself, but it's not going to change anything. You know what I mean? It's just going to be another Ring of Honor, another Impact thing. You know what I mean? So I think it needs to be on a really big network like TNT or ESPN. I immediately the idea of it being a 2-hour slot on Tuesday night to go against SmackDown, I was like, ooh, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But then I remembered the Fox deal that SmackDown is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Because it will be around the same time, too, because that Fox deal with SmackDown changing is going to affect in October of like this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then All Elite
actually,
Wrestling
maybe it's 2020. I can look that
up. Might be 2020 because I know All Elite Wrestling, they also said that like they don't plan to have like televised, you know, like a television ready to go at least until fall. So it could be around the same timeline.
It is this year, October 4th, 2019.
Yeah.
Would be the first.
So then that would line up perfectly. Like right when SmackDown leaves to go to a different night, we have All Elite Wrestling to replace it.
Yeah. TNT makes sense to me more than ESPN, even though ESPN would be a major coup.
Be a huge thing for them, but I don't see that coming, because like ESPN, like I feel like recently they've eased into the idea of like acknowledging professional wrestling more as an athletic endeavor rather than just, you know, wrestling.
It's interesting that they have a tab on the ESPN site with articles about wrestling that the name of the tab is WWE, but they do articles about New Japan and Bullet Club and stuff all the time.
I'm just curious how gung ho they would be to like air professional wrestling on their channel. I mean, I don't really watch ESPN. The only sport I really watch is professional wrestling. So I don't know.
Here's the thing. I think they're gonna wait and see how UFC does on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I know they're not the same thing, but they aim
they're similar
for a similar demographic. I think they're gonna see how UFC goes, and the cons know how much money WWE just got and UFC got.
Yes.
And they can say, we can give you a really similar product for a little bit less money, but it would still be way more than TNA gets on right. whatever network they're on. And it's way more than New Japan would get for being on Axis. Mm-hmm. The problem, I think, with being on ESPN is that the chances that their show gets preempted is going to be really high.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, there could be, like, a college national football championship game. Well, that's on a Monday.
Right.
But there could be, like, a major sporting event that is on a Tuesday that right. they have the rights to. If they have the rights to the NBA Finals, they're not going to...
They're not going to...
wait for the wrestling show to exactly. go first. Yeah, they're yeah. sorry, you're not going this week. But it would get the most eyeballs on. True. I think TNT makes more sense. The only negative there, I think, is that it's unavoidable to compare yourself to WCW then.
Yeah, that is true. Which, like, they kind of do and don't want those comparisons. You don't yeah. want it, obviously, because WCW failed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you kind of do, because there was a time when WCW, like, they were, like, a legitimate contender, so.
Yeah. I feel like TNT is one of the, is the biggest network that can give yes. them 2 hours a week in prime mm-hmm. time. And
I had heard, and this, again, this is completely another rumor that probably has no validity to it. I heard TBS also.
I heard that, too. I think TBS would be really smart. TBS... this is getting really nerdy for all of us artist fans out there, is like mm-hmm. for people who study TV, TBS has done a really good job without a lot of money in the past 5 years, totally rebranding themselves
mm-hmm.
and being like, that's the place to go see hip alternative comedy shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that if there's any wrestling organization that would fit in like the prism of like a comedy, it would be the guys from Being the Elite.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is a strong history of wrestling on TBS,
mm-hmm.
On the Superstation. It hasn't been for quite a while, but yeah. that is a stronghold for WCW as well, all the Turner networks. Yeah, TBS would be really cool if they could get that. But they also could face some problems with being preempted by college basketball in March, because that's one of the March Madness like 8 networks.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
But so they just might have be a dark whole on month Tuesdays.
Of messing up their schedule.
Yeah, it might be unavoidable. Which, you know what, I've always said that wrestling needs an off season. So
well, don't
it might
they?
Not be that bad.
Don't they them. Run NBA games on TNT?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be an issue too. But the idea of maybe having Charles Barkley show up.
that is
that's
tempting.
Pretty great. we could keep talking about TV for the rest of the episode, which is already very long right now. So we got to move on to other rumors.
Yes.
We can guess that they're definitely working on TV, and that will be the next big announcement that the company makes, I imagine,
mm-hmm.
if and when it's ready. Kevin Kelly, the announcer, has said that he absolutely believes there will be a working relationship between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. What are the chances that happens?
It's getting higher and higher, man. I think it's another like 70% chance right now,
mm-hmm.
because looking at AEW's roster and like how closely affiliated so many of them, if not all of them, have been with New Japan, I feel like they have to. And also the potential of Chris Jericho still has a contract with New Japan. He still has dates he needs to fulfill. Like I don't see how they can't work together. You know what I mean?
I kind of think there's no chance of them having it until after the Madison Square Garden show, actually. Because I think that they've hitched their wagon to Ring of Honor so hard for that particular mm-hmm. endeavor
mm-hmm.
that I think it would be poor to yeah. to be like, we're actually going to bring in your biggest competitor,
right.
who you guys kind of let happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it'll be after then that we'll see it, if we do.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that they have a working relationship with Impact or Ring of Honor or some other indie with TV?
Ring of Honor, I'd say pretty slim. I'd say like maybe like a 25% chance, because I mean, I can't imagine that Ring of Honor's happy with them. Like,
yeah.
Not only are they competition, but the top four guys in the company are literally just left Ring of Honor. So I'm not too sure about that one. I think there's 0% chance they'll work with Impact though. I think Impact stands to lose the most from AEW coming about.
Why is that?
I think because Impact, they've been struggling to, like, you know, just keep trying to get back to, like, being a prominent promotion. And it's not to say that they aren't, but I think that so many wrestlers, independent wrestlers who were either trying to get to WWE or left WWE because they didn't like the system, I could see a lot of them settling for Impact, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now that AEW is coming around, which is arguably going to be the closest thing to WWE that you can get, the same sort of reach, potential TV deals and things like that, but a better work environment, I could see so many people choosing to leave Impact or waiting till their contracts run out, mm-hmm. so they can hop over to AEW.
Speaking of people trying to hop over to AEW, there's this insider type person on Reddit who apparently has got some things right before, but maybe just like a total fraud. He says that there is a big current NXT star who's looking to jump ship to AEW.
Ooh.
Who do you think that might be? And follow up question, what percentage chance do you give that this person exists?
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
Adam Cole's girlfriend is Britt Baker, but I doubt it would be anybody.
I can't imagine being Adam Cole. Like, Adam Cole is...
He's been treated very well
for a guy who's like 5'9", like 190 pounds. Like, he's been treated very well. And I think, like, depending if Vince is still there, I think he's going to do very well on main roster. Mm-hmm. So I don't see Adam Cole leaving anytime soon. But that begs the question, though, because, like, I'm thinking of, like, all the top guys in NXT who... I feel like I can't really think of anyone who would immediately be like, all right, I'm going to go to AEW.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone?
I'm looking, like, at the list now.
Maybe
Cassius Ohno. But
I was
going to
say, yes, maybe Cassius
Ohno. Maybe someone like Keith Lee, who they haven't done much with yet.
But he, like, you know, just got fine, there, yeah. man. And he's going to do really well on main roster.
Yeah. Maybe, man, I hesitate.
Matt Riddle's not going anywhere.
I hesitate to say this, but maybe, Velveteen Dream.
No, not a chance.
He just seems the most, legitimately, bizarre to me.
That would be, oh man, that would be so wild if he did. Just because, like, he's, like, literally WWE, like, born and raised, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So
yeah, a lot of a lot of the people who are thriving in NXT right now, even if they were on the indie circuit before,
yeah,
kind of are bigger in NXT than they were on, like, Johnny Gargano or Tommaso Ciampa aren't gonna leave.
Yeah, but I don't see any of those guys jumping ship. The only
Shayna Baszler.
No, man, not a chance. She has the potential to, like, be in a huge storyline on main roster with Ronda Rousey. Like, she's not going anywhere.
What if it's William Regal?
William Regal, yes, please. Now go to AEW to be, like, an on-screen, like, manager or something.
Yeah, I'm just being a shitbag now, throwing out names. Yeah, that this one I feel like I give 0% chance. I just don't know who it would be.
Yeah. Honestly, the only one who kind of makes sense is Cassius Ohno.
Yeah,
just because he was there, he left, he came back. They still haven't done anything with him.
Yeah.
So,
but his girlfriend also works there. So,
oh, who that?
I can't remember, but it is somebody.
Someone who works there. Okay.
On the roster. Yeah.
I don't know.
So you talked about the better quality of, like, work life in AEW. Cody said at the rally that the wrestlers will have healthcare. And then Khan kind of walked it back a little bit, saying that that's something they're trying to do. And then they said, Cody is like, well, if the injury that happened to Joey, if he had been here, he would have been covered. And that's where he left it. So do you think that this will be the first wrestling promotion to give healthcare to its employees? And before you answer that, I want to stop because I feel like a lot of our new listeners probably just had a record scratching moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So professional wrestlers, WWE has deemed them independent contractors. So they are not full-time employees technically. So they do not get health care that is paid for by the company, even though WWE has their own doctors who will like spot check you. If you're getting surgery, you're paying for it. Which seems crazy for a bunch of people in a sport where you are guaranteed to be injured.
It seems crazy for you could have just stopped that sentence at people in a sport.
Yeah.
Like these are athletes and their job title specifically requires them to do potentially physically dangerous things. And they don't have health care. They are legally independent contractors. They have to pay for their own medical bills. They pay their travel bills. Like it sounds crazy. Like when you think about like at least just taking WWE,
yeah,
when you
the think most of corporate
the most corporate everybody. Example, like the biggest example of professional wrestling, like a multi-billion dollar company, you would think like minimum their wrestlers are going to have health insurance. They actually don't.
Yep. There are lots of ways that theater and performance and wrestling are similar. It's the whole premise of our show. Here's the big one in which they're totally different is that there are unions for actors and stage managers, and there are not unions for wrestlers, which has been a big thing that Vince McMahon is against
For
a long time. So, what are the chances that you think AEW will actually have healthcare?
So, this is a tough one. I think... All right, let me walk that back. I hope that they do get healthcare for their employees. I think that is a step in the right direction for the business of professional wrestling. I think for any of our listeners who had no idea that wrestlers don't get healthcare and things like that, like it sounds absurd. And I think it is absurd. And that needs to be like priority number one to fix. I don't know the logistics of like getting healthcare for your employees specifically in a company where your product is so dangerous, you know what I mean?
I'm sure the premium would be high.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like if you're just getting, if you like have an office company and you're getting healthcare for your employees, like it's probably not that bad. But if every employee in your office like had to drive a monster truck to work, like they'd probably like have some high premiums.
Yeah, so. you think Monster Jam has good healthcare for their drivers?
You certainly hope so. So I think I could ease. I mean, of course, Cody and the Bucks want to do it. Like they're wrestlers; they're the boys. Like they understand the plight.
They're full-time employees.
Yes.
So they're like with office jobs,
and they're executives. AEW,
so they will have healthcare.
I think it's a great goal to strive for. I'm not sure exactly if it's going to happen. I think it would be a huge letdown if it didn't.
Yeah.
Because that, for me as a fan, as someone on the outside watching, that felt like what is making AEW feel new and special and revolutionary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they wouldn't have touted it as what makes them interesting unless they had a pretty good plan to make it happen.
But then again, with like the cons kind of like walking them back, like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah. I think it might take them a while.
Got the money guy being like, all right, well, just hold on there.
Yeah. I think also, and this is like a kind of a disgusting way to look at it, but it's a good business tactic if you're trying to lure people away from WWE.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, we have healthcare, you know. Speaking of luring people away in WWE, according to Dave Meltzer, Triple H had been heavily recruiting Cody, the Bucks, and Hangman Page for months and months and months, and they turned down an offer that I'm going to read to you that sounds so incredible.
Okay.
And eventually, when we eventually get Stevie back on this show, we have to ask him if this was true. And I'm sure he'll be like, I'm not going to answer that.
He's like, there's no way I can tell you that.
Yeah. So the idea is that the WWE, rumor has it, is that they have known about the involvement of the Khans for a while and that this was going to happen. And they tried to make an offer that these wrestlers couldn't refuse so that this new promotion would be dead on arrival. The deal would have paid Hangman Page the same amount of money he would get for being on the main roster to go be the biggest star in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and the Bucks would have got the same kind of money that AJ Styles is getting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And being the Elite would be a weekly WWE Network television show that they would have free reign over, and you imagine they would get paid for that as well.
Yes.
And there would have been a built-in escape clause where 6 months in, if they didn't think that their contract or that the offer was being recognized, if they didn't think that their push was good, they would be allowed to walk without any penalty on a 3-year contract.
That is, I mean,
do you think that those were the terms?
I think some of those terms sound a little like, well, hold on a second.
Which ones do you think are?
I think the 6-month clause is the hardest one.
That's crazy.
Because it's not creative control, but like that just sounds crazy. The idea of like, because like what does that constitute? Like, you're not happy with your push. Like, what if they get to WWE? Hangman's immediately put him in the title match and he becomes NXT champion. Mm-hmm. The Bucks immediately become Raw tag team champions. Then they have them combine the SmackDown titles. They become the undisputed tag team champions. Like, but they're still like, this isn't the push we wanted. Like,
that would be shrewd. They would not be welcome back ever again.
I don't believe that part. The monies, I believe all of that. The idea that immediately give Hangman some main roster money, Cody and the Bucks getting paid like main event status. Like, I 100% believe that. Being the Elite on the network kind of makes sense.
I believe it's cheap programming.
It's cheap programming, and like the Bucks, like, they produce everything themselves. I'm sure that they'd be given like an assistant or a producer or someone to be like, okay, you just send me the footage and I'll edit it so you guys don't have to. But yeah that 6-month clause, I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Even if that's the only thing that isn't true there, the rest of that contract is, God,
I think the 6-month clause, that sounds wild. I was gonna say that like maybe they offered that to like Kenny, but even then, like, I don't think they offered that to anyone.
I think Kenny is probably offered the most amount of money, we'll get to him in a bit. Mm-hmm. So, according to Dave, the next two shows that they're going to have will be in Jacksonville in July. This is after Double or Nothing. That their next two shows would be a July show in Jacksonville, with all the proceeds going to victims of gun violence. And that,
some of
the proceeds. Double or Nothing of the proceeds will go to victims of gun violence. And their third show would be on Labor Day weekend in Chicago. It would be basically all in too. And that would be a traditional pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound pretty legit to you?
Yeah, that sounds legit. I can totally see that.
I think this is the only one that feels like 98% sure to me.
Yeah, like that's because there's not too, like, that's not really a big stretch there. Like, that sounds pretty on point. I'm curious, like, if like, you know, 10 years from now, if like AEW becomes super successful, if like All In is going to be their WrestleMania equivalent, like, since it's what started the whole thing, you know what I mean? Like, what, 10 years from now, if we're like going to see All In 10 in Chicago, like,
I mean, I think it'd be smart to get in kind of before football is, you know, in the middle of its season. It's nice to be away from WrestleMania, and you'd be in between SummerSlam and Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So it's a nice spot to be in.
Yeah, another side tangent. I have so many questions. When Vince finally gets the XFL going back up, do you know when their season is?
Yep, sure do. Their season is supposed to start 2020, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, which will be the end of February. So yeah, the mm-hmm. big thing that was an issue with the XFL originally, and that they tried to start it the same WrestleMania season that they bought WCW, mm-hmm. The XFL will be rebooted and started right like a month before WrestleMania.
That's actually, I think, so, well, like, if anything, that's a good idea to do it right after the Super Bowl, because there's no chance people are like, I'm not watching XFL. NFL yeah. is on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but anyway, random side yeah. tangent.
We'll talk about that more when we do our Vince McMahon episode that we've been yes. talking about for a while here. But yeah, that's when it will run. So it also wouldn't be during the XFL if it happens, or the mm-hmm. AAF, which is... Charlie Ebersol's football league that's going to start this year after the Super Bowl. So
just everybody's starting football yeah, leagues. All right.
They sure are. Let's start one. So the last rumor we're going to go through is, this one's crazy to me, but maybe just crazy enough that it's true, that mm-hmm. AEW, before they were AEW, so like the Cons, mm-hmm. had an offer from Impact on the table to buy them, but they turned it down and favor of starting something from scratch.
I don't believe that.
Chris Jericho apparently was the one like introducing the Cons to like Cyrus, or formerly Cyrus,
Don Callis. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I don't believe any of that. I don't think Impact has the money to do anything. Really.
That was the idea. Was that it was like, well, why don't you buy us and we already are on TV?
Yeah,
I think that was the, in theory, that's the pitch.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds pretty far-fetched.
Yeah. So speaking of far-fetched, we're going to see now, in kind of our final rundown of this very speculative episode, we're going to go through some potential free agents who mm-hmm. we think could be big signings. And still, I kind of want to talk through the possibility of these things actually happening. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we should start with other members of the Elite who are not yet confirmed to be coming
yes.
over. So Kenny Omega is the big
Kenny
one.
Omega, he's the big one. This is just the chances of him being signed, or
by
the logistics of him being signed.
I guess we can talk about the logistics of it. His contract yeah. is up in February. February 21st, I think, when New Japan is when his contract
no,
is up.
No, it's end of January.
End of
it's,
January.
It's
okay.
his contract, I believe, is up January 29th.
So the same day as the Royal Rumble?
Is that the
day
Rumble?
After the? Is it the day after the Royal Rumble?
I thought the Rumble was the 24th.
No, the Rumble is the. We should know this because we're going to do a preview on it.
That's
very,
true.
Very soon.
I know that it's after the Rumble. His contract is up, but it's not like very far after. It's like only a
yeah.
week
the
or
Rumble
two.
Is Sunday, January 27th.
Okay, so it's probably the 29th then.
Yeah, to prevent him from being in the Rumble.
Well, so here's the thing. Because this has been a lot of the speculation, is that his contract with New Japan is not up until after the Rumble. However, that has not stopped people leaving New Japan from appearing on WWE television before.
Yeah.
AJ Styles, when he debuted in the Rumble in 2016, still had arguably an active New Japan contract.
Yeah.
So there is precedent for him to still potentially show up in the Rumble if he does sign with WWE. And then, so at that point, you then have to like start to question the idea of like, well, what do we as outsiders think Kenny Omega wants to do next in his career? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's given reasons for both why he would go to WWE. There's things he wants to do in WWE.
I.e. WrestleMania against AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, exactly. Like, there's things he wants to do. That would be the biggest platform he could possibly wrestle on. Mm-hmm. He could, like, get his name out there. He's said before that, like, if he wasn't a wrestler, he would want to be, like, a celebrity sort of in like the gaming world,
mm-hmm.
which he kind of arguably already is, but what better way to put your foot in the door when you're no longer going to be a wrestler than to be a gaming personality than in WWE that has outreach to millions and millions of people, much like Xavier Woods does with Up, Up, Down, Down.
And they've done a lot of Overwatch stuff too, right? And Rocket League stuff where they've sent people to events and done like celebrities.
So there's a whole bunch of reasons why he would go to WWE, but literally like his the rest of the elite, like this thing that he helped start has started their whole new company called All Elite Wrestling, like with his like his best friends running it. Like it would make all the sense in the world for him to go there. But
yeah, I think peer pressure is gonna win out in this one. And
to your head, where do you think he's going?
AEW.
Kenny's going to AEW.
Yeah, I think
I don't know, man.
Do you really
I
think
don't
WWE?
Know. I don't know. It's so tough.
Yeah,
because at no point do I think does Kenny Omega care about the money? I don't think he cares about the money, but I feel like AEW, like they probably can't even compete with the money that he can make in WWE.
No. But they can get
the
close.
The rumor I heard that the contract that he was offered for WWE was guaranteed, I think, $3.5 million a year.
That's insane for WWE.
Which is insane. That's John Cena money.
Yeah.
Like, and I, like AEW could probably compete with that, but, like, they're not going to sign Kenny to a $3.5 million a year contract when they haven't even had a TV deal yet. Like,
yeah, I don't think. But if you have Kenny, you can get a TV deal easier.
That is true. That is true.
Is legitimately, like, if you're going to it, sorry to backtrack everybody, but this
no,
is
no,
interesting.
No, this is, if we got to figure this out, man.
If we're walking into ESPN and saying, we're starting a wrestling promotion, put us on, we're going to take on WWE, and they say, okay, who do you have? Do you say, we have Kenny Omega, the biggest star outside of WWE, or do you say, we have Cody Rhodes, the son of Dusty Rhodes? I still think you say Cody to like win over those executives.
I think for like ESPN execs, you say Cody because chances are they know who Dusty Rhodes is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you could explain to them who Kenny Omega is and how big Kenny Omega is now, but I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. Here's the other thing I was going to say with all these free agents is I was coming into it with the idea of you have to think who has families. Like who has wives and who has kids, because that would prompt them to want to stay in WWE where there's more security. But
and that's why Kenny's the wild card. Kenny
doesn't have those things.
No kids.
He has Kota Ibushi. That's what he has.
He has Kota Ibushi, who is a perpetual free agent. So, yeah.
But if they get the healthcare thing, I don't know if that neutralizes that argument.
Yeah,
and it's going to be less dates. Like,
I don't know, man.
It's really hard to parse. The biggest two other people. Well, let's touch on Marty real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Marty is someone who a lot of people,
the rest of the elite,
thought was getting offers before everybody else for WWE for NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was like, let's steal Marty away.
Yeah.
Marty's contract with Ring of Honor is not up for a little bit longer.
I think a while, because I remember when
he's going to be at the Madison Square Garden show for sure.
Yeah. I remember when there were talks about Marty potentially getting signed to NXT, and then he re-signed a Ring of Honor contract. And I'm pretty sure like that was last year or something.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going anywhere for a year.
I think
year
it's a 1 year deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Flip is on a 2 year deal. Flip's on a long deal too. So they're coming later if they're coming. But I think they're definitely going to AEW unless crazy things change between now and that year.
Yeah.
The two people who have been kind of long rumored people to leave WWE and jump, even before we knew AEW was a thing, were AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. How likely do you think it is that either of them leave?
So my thought, I was talking to Sarah about, this last night, the idea of like people moving. And I think, Nakamura is an interesting one because I feel like if Nakamura were to leave WWE, he'd be much better off just going back to New Japan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know because, why he would stay in America.
Exactly, yeah. Because I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure, like, when he came to WWE, he moved his entire family out here.
He
like,
did.
Wife
yeah.
and kids and everything. So, were he to quit WWE and join AEW, it wouldn't really be a change. They'd still be living in the States. They'd be doing things here. But I feel like it wouldn't make much sense. I feel like he'd just be like, well, let's just go back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. AJ Styles, I don't see AJ Styles leaving WWE.
Yeah.
He is, I'm pretty sure he said before in interviews that, like, he plans to end his career in WWE. I know for a fact he said in interviews that he doesn't have that many years left of wrestling. Like,
yeah.
So.
And I think that he's been saying that for a while to try to get on the John Cena, Daniel Bryan like contract where you
mm-hmm.
only you wrestle a limited number of days a year. And I think that maybe he has actually zero intention of leaving, but called up his friends, his former Bullet Club friends, and were like, hey, can mm-hmm. you guys put this out here that I'm thinking about doing it so that I have that as leverage to get this part-time contract.
Yeah,
I think that's got to be what's going on.
Cause, well, yeah, because his contract is coming up soon, and I was listening to Meltzer was talking about it. He said, I'm going to mess up the quote, but he said something along the lines of, AJ is in the best position for a contract negotiation right now next to, like, Kenny Omega. But other than that, like, he's at the best spot of anyone.
Oh, yeah. He's sitting pretty. So I think he's staying right where he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's been talk that other former Bullet Club people like Finn Balor and Gallows and Anderson might leave.
I don't see Finn going anywhere. He's not... Maybe he's not getting, like, the push that, like, he used to or, like, what everyone thinks he deserves, but I don't see Finn going anywhere.
Yeah, now
Gallows and Anderson, I could very easily see them going to AEW.
Yeah, I thought they would be a shoo-in, but I heard Anderson asked this kind of in a roundabout way by Sam Roberts this week, and Carl said, and he was joking because he's funny, but he was serious. He said, I've gone in there and told them I would like to sign a lifetime contract. So,
oh, wow.
So I think maybe he actually, like, if he's being genuine there,
yeah,
I think he wants to stay.
Okay.
Yeah. We know they're going to target a lot of the women from Stardom to round out their women's division. And apparently that might include Aja Kong. Which is kind of crazy. I just wanted to point that out there because she is like a older legend of wrestling.
Yes.
And it'd be kind of cool if she showed up.
Well, they definitely need women right now.
Yeah,
their
really
women's division is two, maybe three.
And I think that way back to All In, they probably were banking on getting all four of the competitors in that
match.
Oh,
yeah.
And like, now Chelsea Green is in WWE.
Tessa Blanchard's big in
Impact.
Jordan Grace is in Impact.
Yeah. So those people are locked up now. And I don't know how long Tennille Dashwood, former Emma, is locked up in Ring of Honor, but that's who I would go after next if I were.
Oh, yeah. Because I think, she would be a great one because, like, she has the recognition of being in WWE, so, like, enough people know her.
Yeah.
And, like, I always thought that she was a pretty good wrestler.
I do too. And I think she's got a good reputation with, like,
I'm not sure on the contracts as well with Impact and stuff, but I could see them pushing very hard for Jordan Grace.
You and I have said that Tessa Blanchard is the best person not in WWE.
Oh yeah,
for, like, women, like, she is just a star in the making, and I don't know why WWE didn't sign her when
they dropped the ball, man.
The Revival,
FTR, man, the Revival, they already got, like, a foot out the door, man. I think they are going to run to AEW the second they get a chance.
I think it's not a coincidence that they've been featured much more prominently the last 3 weeks on Raw.
Oh, no, not at all.
I think they're probably gone.
They are running to the door. They want to get the hell out of there.
And that's a match
I
would like to see, too.
I don't blame them. It's a match I would love to see, and I could 100% see AEW like building a tag division around the Revival. You know,
that's
what
they should. They should build a crazy tag division that would make them stand out from WWE.
Well, I certainly think they will. I mean, when you got, you have the Young Bucks at the helm, who like arguably the like one of the best tag teams ever. Mm-hmm. So, and I think if they want to continue this idea of like revolutionizing pro wrestling, I think putting the tag division in a much more prominent role and not just an afterthought like in WWE is the way to go.
Yeah. I don't have any other really like tag teams on this list of free agents except for Enzo and Cass, who I don't think will be.
No, not a chance.
But they may be the biggest name recognition tag team that's just hanging out there. Are there any other tag teams from WWE that you think would leave?
From
quickly?
WWE? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Maybe the Colognes if they ever release them.
Yeah. I could see Ohio versus Everything leaving at the end of their Impact contract.
Yeah, I could see the Lucha Bros.
Yeah. Well, the Lucha, that's tough because
they were trying to get the Lucha Bros.
Everyone's trying to get the Lucha Bros. They're actually maybe the biggest free agents yet to be signed. But I know Rey Mysterio's trying to bring them into WWE really hardcore. Goldust. Elder Statesman of WWE.
See, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
It would make all the sense for him to go to AEW. I mean, his brother's running the promotion.
Yeah.
But the history that he's had in WWE, I mean,
he couldn't be Goldust there.
He couldn't be Goldust there. Well, I mean, he could finally be just Dustin Rhodes. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if that's, he did. I remember when they brought Starrcade back last year or 2 years ago, he got to wrestle as Dustin Rhodes and not Goldust. And so, I mean, I don't know if that's like a thing that he wanted to do in his career, like to just not be Goldust for a while. I don't know. I think the history that he has in WWE, like that's a tough one. And also, I mean, he's Goldust is older. Like, even though like Cody's running the promotion, I don't see Goldust going to AEW and like being in a title picture.
No, he'd be a producer there,
Even that. Yeah. I don't know.
Think,
that's a tough one.
I don't think WWE would close the doors on him forever if he was like, hey, I'm going to go work with my brother for a little
bit. If anything, just for the history and not even like with Goldust. I mean, Dusty and like, I don't think they've closed the door on Cody. I mean,
no, yeah, they would. I mean, they would bring Cody back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Jim Ross.
Ooh, for commentary or like producing?
For commentary. Although, I mean, he was really good at talent.
He'd probably be
depending
like
on
head of
asked.
Talent or something like he was at WWE.
I think that would be a bad move for him to be head of talent now. I don't think he connects with the young people anymore.
I agree with that. I think he'd be good. It'd be great to have a familiar voice like JR on commentary. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great way to, I think, bring just a whole nother like demographic of fans in to just watch AEW.
Yeah.
It
would definitely help with those meetings with ESPN executives.
Yes, yes, absolutely. To have a name like Jim Ross on it. I mean, I'm for it. I still love hearing Jim Ross's commentary. So
yeah. Ty Dillinger.
Oh God, I hope so, man. I really want Ty to go there so much.
Does he have a wife or kids?
Huh?
Does he have a wife or kids? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Who was he? There was some dirt sheet report about him dating some superstars.
I haven't heard this one. This is great.
It was some female wrestler. Who was it? I should know this. I don't know. I can't. I heard a report of him dating some female wrestler, so I'm assuming he does not have children and or is married.
Yeah. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't go if they're going to give him more.
They really, man.
Oh, well, never mind. He's currently engaged to Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce, that's what it was.
So he should stay there because I think they have plans for her and Billy Kay.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have plans. He should. I mean, I don't know. So I actually don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but so I actually have a running bet about Ty Dillinger with a friend.
Yeah.
That I'm about to get my comeuppance for. So it was like 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, the Rumble that he debuted at number 10 in. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, after it happened and, like, the pop that he got, and I may have had a little bit to drink that night.
That's not like you.
I made a bet with a friend of mine who was watching me at the time, because I was convinced. I was like, did you see that pop? I was like, man, Ty Dillinger is going to be the next big thing. And there, and he was like,
Lesnar?
He was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, look, maybe not like the next big thing, but he's going to be like a top champion. And so we ended up having to make a bet of it, of course. So the bet is, if Ty Dillinger is not the Universal or WWE champion by the SmackDown after WrestleMania this year, I have to pay my friend $100.
Well, that's $100. You're never getting back.
I know. But the caveat was, if I won, because I knew it was a stretch, I was like, look, I know this is a long shot, but I feel confident in like how big Ty Dillinger is right now. I was like, if I'm right and he does become a champion before WrestleMania 2 years from now, you have to pay me $500. And they made the bet, but I'm definitely going to lose that.
Yeah,
that
person gave you good odds that they knew were attempting.
I am definitely going to lose that bet. So
unless we can turn
this around. We need a grassroots campaign. Like, I need to go viral. Like, somebody push Ty Dillinger.
What happens in this bet if he's the first AEW world champion?
I don't know. I think I'd have to.
You should like talk up that with this person.
I think I got to talk to my friend and see what the logistics here are. Like, does it have to be like a WWE champion? Could it just be
any world champion
in any promotion?
Oh boy.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, I think he'll leave. Grand Metalik. Former finalist in the Cruiserweight
Classic. Yeah.
He had a tweet that he later or quickly deleted that was like, mm-hmm. Should I stay here or go to the independents?
Oh,
a lot of people think by independents he meant All Elite.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. So I literally just watched a YouTube clip of an old match that Grand Metalik had with Kenny Omega.
Oh.
It was like right after Kenny debuted the cleaner gimmick, mm-hmm. like right when he joined Bullet Club. And I was like, oh my God, is that Grand Metalik right there? But, yeah. I don't know. He's a weird one. Cause I mean, I think he's doing the Lucha House Party thing right now,
yeah.
Which it's like, it's a thing to do when they're on television pretty frequently, but I don't see them getting a huge push anytime soon.
Yeah. I actually see him as getting the least push out of the three people, and also
like he's, I mean, no offense to him, but he's like the least interesting of the three in there.
Yeah, I think I could see him leaving. I don't think WWE would fight that hard to keep him.
No.
Speaking of people that WWE fights hard, the last person, CM Punk. CM Punk has made some comments about AEW. Because other people mm-hmm. brought him into it on Twitter, and he kind of avoided the question and just related everything to metaphors about the comic book industry in the early 90s.
Okay.
So, like, I know that was a way that I just simplified it. You'll have to go read the full thing.
Yeah,
it makes sense. But, like, he commented on it, but not really. What are the chances that CM Punk ends up on AEW in any capacity?
In any capacity?
Any capacity.
Any capacity.
Any capacity.
I'd give it, in any capacity, I'd give it like 75%.
Wow. Wow.
We see, because you're just saying in any capacity.
What capacity do you think you would be in?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's in anything, like he could just like show up. Like he could be in a backstage segment.
Man,
he could be.
I feel like I want to.
He could be in a pre-recorded like thing that they show on a Titantron.
I feel like I want to make a $100 versus $500 bet with you right now.
No. Tyler does not make these bets anymore, Andrew.
Yeah. I see. I feel like, but even the chances of him just being in the audience to see a show, I think they're bad. I get the feeling he hates wrestling so much now.
Wow.
And I think that the affinity that people have for Colt Cabana in kind of the
indie
circuit really makes it harder for him to show
up. That I think that really hurt his stake this last year.
Yeah.
When it came out that like him and Cabana were like he was like potentially suing Colt for money and stuff, like I think that really hurt his stake.
Colt did sue him because he
because
Punk was like, I will, according to Colt Cabana, Punk said he would cover his legal fees from the past
the WWE
trial, and then Punk didn't. So Colt was like, hey, I need that money.
I think that really did hurt his lot with like independent wrestling fans, but I don't know, man. Like that's because I don't know. That's a tough one, because if he did ever come back, like, you know, no one's going to boo that. Like, no one is going to boo CM Punk returning.
I think in Chicago, they might boo him if Colt Cabana's out there, since they're both from Chicago.
I don't know, it's man. Tough, that's though. A tough one. That's a tough.
Is Colt signed by Ring of Honor right now, or is he just working there?
I would assume he's signed by Ring
if
of Honor.
If he's not signed, man, what a great match AEW could do. Colt Cabana CM match now if they can make it happen.
So the other thing that I was hearing, it was people speculating, of course, like we are right now, about AEW and what they need to do to succeed. And specifically, they were like, they need some heels, because right now, like all of the elite guys are going to be baby faces by proxy, like So they need some heels, and I someone threw out the idea of Chuck Taylor, who I don't know what his contracts are, if he's signed to Ring of Honor,
but he's doing like a storyline with New Japan right now,
right
at Wrestle Kingdom,
but
they like had like stuff.
I think
him
it was
do.
Yeah. They were specifically talking the idea of like, because like when he used to work heel in PWG and stuff, and they were like, that would be the perfect heel character to have in AEW, which, you know, more kind of lighthearted product and stuff, and like that would just work perfectly. But I think Pac would probably be a good idea for like the heel to build your company around.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like Pac also doesn't really get booed like
that way. I think Brock Lesnar is who they should go after. I know that sounds ridiculous, but like,
I don't know if they can afford Brock Lesnar money.
Yeah, but I think Fulham and the Jacksonville Jaguars could. And if there's a good thing, you got to put the dominoes in a line that if they did get ESPN as weekly TV and UFC is on ESPN, that that could make sense. I think Brock would be worth it for like one or two matches.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
I think they should get Stone Cold.
That, you know, getting him as an authority figure or as a commentator would be genius, actually. But I don't think Stone Cold will ever go work for anyone.
And have him,
other,
have him
other
come back
Vince.
As stunning Steve Austin.
Put a hairpiece on him. I'm trying to think who else they should go get. That was everyone I had in the list. Maybe they should go get Brian Pillman Jr. I don't know if he's actually good.
I could see them getting Austin Gunn, Billy Gunn's kid, now that he's affiliated.
Yeah, I'm sure Joey Ryan will be there after he recovers from injury. But yeah, we don't know. They need a big monster heel. And that's kind of what's missing right now. So
what if, all right, I'm just gonna fantasy book this now. I don't even care if you put this on the episode. What if they do this amazing story where they have the big reveal that Kenny has signed with AEW, and like Kenny shows up and this amazing pop, amazing praise, and they're like, but that's not all we got. And then they reveal that they also signed Kota Ibushi.
I think that would be smart.
Then Kota comes out and they're like, we have the golden lovers. And then immediately night one, Kota turns on Kenny.
Yeah, I think that would be smart. I think using Cody or Kenny as a top heel would work. I think they're going to have to break apart the friendship between all the elite people for it to
work. They're going to make it work. Just that, or at least until they get a more padded roster, because right now like they don't have a lot of names to begin with, but also like your biggest names are the elite, so
yeah. Well, This has been an elite episode.
It was,
just
yes.
in like runtime. I feel like we really could go longer. We could go 60 minutes at the Tokyo Dome. We've actually gone longer than 60 minutes already.
That's a 7-star podcast.
We've gone
right
Broadway.
There.
But I think it's about time to call it a night. We're just as excited to see what's going to happen with this as all of you. Mm-hmm. Next time you'll hear from us, it will probably be us talking about the Royal Rumble and then Vince McMahon. And then we're
and
on the road to WrestleMania.
Heralded Vince episode that we promise is coming.
We've done a lot of research for it. So like it'll yes. be good when we do it. So don't worry, guys. Mm-hmm. So as a reminder, if you want us to answer any questions in the Kayfabe 5000, which will return next week, submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter at adowrestling, or you can email them us directly at muchadowrestling@gmail.com. What's Turbo Mansion up to?
We are, we're writing some new stuff right now.
Very nice.
we're putting in the hours in the old basement. Writing some new songs. We have about five or six new ones right now, and we want to get about 8 or 9, and then we're gonna buy some studio time, get it recorded, release a second album, and then take over the world. I mean, that's the plan, at least going forward.
You're taking over.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna have to leave you all, as we always do. And the hold on. Free agent, they must get Blake Bortles, who's on the line for a lot of money from the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's someone who they should convert to being a pro wrestling person.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that in there. Okay, so as fair. Always, we leave you in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
The elite, the elite, the elite, the elite, the elite, the elite.
It was a good fade out.
It's a good one. I figured I was like, he's probably going to fade this out himself. I'll just do it myself.
No, it's good. It makes it easier.